Скъпи присъстващи, добър вечер и добре дошли. Имам удоволствието да открия този семинар на доктор по систематична теология Джак Секуера от Съединените щати. Но преди да започне самия семинар, ще чуем едно музикално изпълнение. Благодаря на Йоана. Сега, преди да дам думата на доктор Джак Секуера, неговата съпруга ще ни разкаже едно тяхно преживяване в Уганда.
Good evening.
Добър вечер.
I wish I was able to speak in Bulgarian.
Бих искал да мога да говоря на български.
But I have to wait till I get to heaven.
Но трябва да чакам, докато отидем в небето.
We are happy to be with you this evening.
Много се сме щастливи да бъдем с вас от тази вечер.
And usually when I come with my husband on one of his appointments,
обикновено когато отивам, пътувам с съпруга си по неговите места,
we like to share some of our experience from our 20 years in Africa.
Споделяме някои от преживяванията си от 20-те години прекарани в Африка.
So during this week,
през тази седмица,
I will share part of our experience from when we were in Uganda.
Споделих няколко наши опитности, когато бяхме в Уганда.
In the 1970s.
В 70-те години.
That's a long time ago.
Това е преди много години.
But I may be old, but I can still remember.
Но аз все още си спомням, въпреки че съм вече възрастен.
The things that happened to us during this time I will never forget.
Тези неща, които ни се случиха, никога няма да забравя.
We were living in Uganda under the reign of Idi Amin.
Бяхме в Уганда, когато Уганда беше под управлението на Ами Адин.
I don't know how many of you remember about him.
Не знам дали знаете нещо за това време.
He was not a very nice man.
Но той не беше добър човек.
In fact, he was responsible for killing 300,000 of his own people.
Той беше виновен за убийството на 3000 души.
And he was the president, and my husband was the leader of our college in Bugema.
Той беше президент на страната, а моят съпруг беше директор на колежа.
Yeah, he was director. He could not be called president of a college because we only had one president in Uganda.
В Уганда имаше само един президент, затова той беше директор на колежа.
Idi Amin was a very a proud man.
Idi Amin беше един много горд човек.
He used to give himself special medals.
Той сам се възнаграждаваше с специални медали.
In fact, he gave himself so many.
И толкова много си беше, толкова много медали си беше дал.
He had to have a special coat made that was long enough to have all of these things.
Имаше едно специално палто, дълго, за да може да събере всичките медали.
One of the special titles he gave himself.
Една от заглавията, което той си беше дал.
Was conqueror of the British Empire.
Завоевателят на британската идея. Такова название си беше дал.
Yeah, I can see some of you smiling. We smiled too.
Виждам вашите усмивки и ние се усмихахме също.
But this man, he had a dream.
Но този човек се молил сън.
And his dream told him that in 3 months' time, all of the people of Asian extraction, Indian, must leave the country.
И той се молил, че в разбрение на 3 месеца всички хора от индийски произход трябва да напуснат страната.
My husband is, he was born in Africa, but his family is from India.
Семейството на моя съпруг е от Индия.
And so when we heard this, we wondered, does this mean us also?
Когато чухме това, ние се чудихме дали това се отнася и за нас, бяхме
Because we considered that we were there to help the people. We were in an educational institution. And we would listen to the radio. I would be in my kitchen with the radio turned on. And I would listen to BBC. Not only because I am English, but because it was the only place we could hear what was happening in the country. Radio Uganda only told us what Amin wanted us to hear. So I would listen to the radio, and one day it would say, the teachers can stay. If they leave, who is going to teach our children? And then the next day he would say, no, the teachers must go. If they stay, they will teach our children the wrong things. The next day he would speak about doctors and nurses. They have to go. The next day he would say, they can stay because who is going to treat our sick people? And then the next day he would change his mind again. They have to go. If they stay, they will give us the wrong medicine. This was very confusing. It was like being on a yo-yo. We were not sure what was happening. And so I began to pack our things to leave. And one night, I will never forget. I was in the room and I was packing things in the boxes. And our children, my son was 5, and our little girl was 3. They were sleeping in the room. And I think my husband must have been reading or studying. He was doing something else. And I heard the sound of a vehicle coming up the driveway. And as they came closer, I went to the door. And this was 10 o'clock at night. And in Africa, the sky is very black at night time. And so I opened the door, and as I looked out, I saw a VW Beetle. The VW, the car. Volkswagen. And as the men were getting out, a light came on. And I could see a machine gun and a radio receiver.
Radio.
I knew these were not parents of our students. But I didn't know who they were. And so they came into the house. And I didn't have time to tell my husband what I had seen. So they sat down. And in Africa, you never ask somebody immediately, how can I help you? Why are you here? First, you must make them welcome. You must give them food and drink. So I did that. And then the young man said to my husband, you know who we are? And he said, no, I'm sorry, I don't know. So they reached into their pocket. They brought out their ID, identity card. And it said, the Secret Service for Idi Amin. They said they had come to check on the work permits for our missionaries. But I didn't know whether to believe them. And they said they would take my husband to go to the homes of the teachers. And so my husband got up to leave. As he walked out the door, he walked away out of the door. I looked into his eyes because I didn't know if I would ever see him again. And so he left. And I'm a woman, yes? And I'm thinking, if he must know how I am feeling right now. If these men are true in what they are saying, he will take them to the first house just across the road. Then I will know that they are genuine. They are saying the truth. I don't know if it's the same in Bulgaria. But men and women don't always think alike. Men and women, they don't always think the same. So, my husband is thinking, if I go to the first house and they take me to the last house and they leave me there, I have a mile to walk, half a kilometer. And in Uganda there are many bad snakes. Some of them, they bite you. In 15 minutes, dead. So, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go to the farthest, to the...
Yeah.
So I watched the lights of the car. They went down the road, they went this way, past the house. And I saw those lights disappear in the darkness of the night. And I thought to myself, I will never see him again. So I thought to myself, what can I do? I'm a Christian. The only thing I can do is to speak to my father. So I knelt down and prayed. I prayed that God would watch over him. I prayed that my children and I would be safe. And if God made things happen that he did not return, that I would be able to stay in Uganda and work with the people. I also said something else. Sometimes we make promises. And Jack likes this part. I said, Lord, if you return my husband, I will be the best wife a man ever had. He returned my husband. I don't know if I'm the best wife. But he came back. And I was happy to see him. When that door opened, I didn't know if it was the young man or him. So I was very happy to see him. And that was just the beginning. We had 3 months of difficult things happening. But many things happened that God did for us. The Bible tells us that God can do more than we can ask or think. The next time I speak, I will tell you more of this story. Thank you for listening.
Okay, good evening.
Добър вечер.
Добър вечер. What my wife did not tell you,
това, което съпругата ми не ви каза,
was that Idi Amin was a Muslim.
Че Иди Амин беше мюсюлманин.
He was anti-Christian.
Той беше антихрист.
And what would happen in those days,
и това, което се случи в онези
дни, is they would come to the house,
те идваха в къщи,
they would take the men,
вземаха, отвеждаха мъжа,
they would kill them,
убиваха го,
and push them in the river Nile,
пускаха го в реката Нил,
for the crocodiles to eat them, for the crocodiles. And then they would come back and they would rape the women. So it was a very hard time. But God was on our side. And that's why I'm here, still alive. Now during this next few days, I want to share with you the incredible good news of the gospel. When Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago, do you know how he was introduced to the frightened shepherds of Bethlehem on Christmas night? This is what the angel said. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people, and that includes the people of Bulgaria. But while Christ came to be the gospel, God set aside the Apostle Paul to explain this good news. That is why almost half of the New Testament is Paul's epistles. And when Paul explains the gospel, he does not start with good news. He explains the sin problem. Why? Because the gospel is to save sinners, not good people. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul explains the true definition of a Christian. Listen to what he wrote. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Use flesh there?
Yes.
What did he mean by flesh? He explains in verse 4, 5, and 6. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else think he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Here's the reason. Verse 5. I was circumcised the eighth day. Because that's what the law required. Of the stock of Israel, I'm a pure-blooded Jew, of the tribe of Benjamin, the same tribe as the first king of Israel, Saul, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee. Now the word Pharisee means those who set themselves aside to follow all the rules of their church, and they look down on those who are failing. And Paul was one of them. In verse 6, concerning zeal, that is zeal for God, I persecuted the church. And concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. But in verse 7, now you look. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ.
Но това, което беше за мене придобивка, сметнах го като загуба заради Христос.
As a Jew,
като еврей,
as a Pharisee,
като фарисей,
he believed that because of all his good deeds,
че поради добрите си дела,
and his law keeping,
и изпазването на закона,
he would go to heaven.
Той ще отиде в небето.
But when he discovered Christ,
но когато той откри Христос,
he realized
той разбра,
he was a sinner.
Че е грешен.
Verse 8. So he said, I have counted all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ.
За когото изгубих всичко и смятам всичко за измет, само Христос да придобия.
He said, I took all my self-righteousness.
Аз вземам всичката си себеправедност.
And I threw it away.
И я хвърлям на страна.
In exchange for Christ.
Заради Христос.
And verse 9.
9.
I want to be found in Him.
И да се намеря в Него.
In Christ.
В Христос.
Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law.
Без да имам за своя правда унази, която е от закона.
But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith.
А унази, която е чрез вяра в Христос, т.е. правдата, която е от Бога, въз основа на вяра.
And then he became the greatest apostle of the New Testament.
И тогава той стана най-великият апостол в Новия Завет.
So the gospel is not I,
така че благовестието е не аз,
but Christ.
Но Христос.
And the hardest part
и най-трудната част е
is to give up self-confidence.
Да оставиш себеуплованието си.
That is why
ето защо,
when Paul explains the gospel,
когато Павел обяснява благовестието,
he first explains our sin problem.
Той първо обяснява нашия проблем грях.
In Romans,
Римляни,
which is his clearest gospel explanation,
което е най-ясното обяснение на благовестието,
he spends chapter 1 verse 18,
от 18
right up to chapter 3
до 3 глава,
verse 20
20
on the sin problem.
Той го отделя, за да обясни третия проблем.
And this evening I want to explain to you the sin problem.
И тази вечер аз искам да ви обясня този проблем.
Why? To destroy all confidence in self.
Всякакво доверие в себе си.
So that we might rest 100% on the righteousness of Christ.
За да можем да се доверим 100% на правдата на Христос.
Now the Old Testament was written in Hebrew.
Е написан на еврейски.
And it uses some 12 different words for sin.
И употребява 12 различни думи за значение грях.
The New Testament was written in Greek.
Е написан на гръцки.
And there it uses 5 different words for sin. And when you put all these words together, you have at least 8 different definitions of sin. And we're going to look at them. Now, this is all in Bulgarian. I can't read it. So she's going to read for you. What does that say?
Тази лекция обяснява защо всеки се нуждае от спасител. Why everybody needs failure?
Yes, because we are sinners. Okay, now.
Тъй като сме грешници, всички се нуждаем от спасител.
Okay, now what does that say? It says that deep in our hearts.
Дълбоко в сърцето на всеки човек е залегнало желанието да бъде добър. Но в действителност всички се проваляме в постигането на тази цяло. Затова нашият свят търи такава ужасна бъркотия. Всяко човешко усилие да разреши проблема грях пропада. Защо?
Yeah, so we are very proud, self-righteous people.
Ние сме много горди със своята праведност.
And God has to open our eyes.
И Бог трябва да отвори очите ни.
Okay. Here is thing that we need to know.
Това трябва да знаем.
What does it say?
The problem
of the sin problem.
No, that mankind fellow in solving the problem with him.
Yeah, we can't solve it. We cannot solve the same problem. Okay, and this? What does?
We'll look at the sin as behavior.
Yes, that's the biggest problem. We look at sin as in terms of behavior. But in the Bible, sin is more than behavior. Let me explain to you. You grow wonderful apples here.
Имате прекрасни ябълки тука. Отглеждате прекрасни ябълки.
I've seen big ones.
Видяхте много голями.
Now, in the winter,
сега, зимата,
these apple trees
тези ябълкови дървета
have no leaves
нямат листа,
and no fruits.
Нямат плод.
Is it still an apple tree?
Все още ли това дърво, ябълково дърво?
Yes or no?
Да или не?
Yes.
Да.
So the apples don't make it an apple tree.
Така че плода ябълка не прави дървото ябълка.
The apples only prove it is an apple tree.
Плода ябълка само доказва, че това е ябълково дърво.
So our sins,
така че нашите грехове,
our behavior,
нашето поведение,
does not make us sinners.
Не ни прави грешни.
We are sinners by birth.
Ние сме грешници по рождение.
And Paul makes that clear.
И Павел казва това ясно.
In Romans 5 verse 19. That by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. But now, you will see what John says. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist is introducing Jesus Christ. Because you see, Jesus came to save us from sin. I want you to listen to the words. John chapter 1, verse 29. Listen to what the Bible says. This is John the Baptist speaking. Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him. This is John the Baptist. He sees Jesus coming to him. And he said, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Now look at the word sin. Singular or plural? Singular. Because there are two different words in the New Testament. Sin as a verb, and the Greek word is hamatano, and sin as a noun. And sin as a noun is what we are by nature. And our sinful behavior is what we produce. Now, if Christ came to save only our behavior, he would not solve our problem. Because our problem is in our nature. And here the word sin in verse 29 is not the verb, it's a noun. So Jesus came to save us from what we are. Now if I have an apple tree that produces sour apples, if I remove the apples, I have not solved the problem. Because the next season, they'll produce more sour apples. So, what is the solution? To cut the tree down and plant a new one. And Jesus came to deal with our sin problem. And when you cut the apple tree down, the apples also come down. So Jesus came to save us from the total sin problem. Okay, now look at what it says there. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. You need to know what Paul says there. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. Now remember, this is Paul, the greatest apostle of the New Testament. And listen to what he says. In verse 15. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. And listen to verse 15. This is a faithful saying. And we should accept it with full acceptance. So this is a true saying that we should worthy to accept. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. And then Paul, in the present tense, says, of whom I am number one, I'm chief. So Paul realized that even though he was a great apostle, he was a sinner saved by grace. Now, what is this saying?
Paul begins his message with the universal
problem. Okay, yes. So this is what we're going to study, the universal sin problem. Okay? Now, we have already covered this. I have already read Philippians 3, 3 to 9. Now, in Romans, chapter 1, verse 18, as I mentioned already, right up to chapter 3, verse 20, Paul is dealing with the sin problem. To destroy our confidence in ourselves. I would like to read for you the conclusion of this sin problem. It's Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 20. This is his conclusion. Romans 3, verse 9 to 20. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Who is we? Jews. Who's they? The Gentile. So are we better? We Jews are better than Gentiles. And his answer is, not at all. For we have previously charged or proven both Jews and Greeks or Gentiles that they are all under sin. So he's saying we Jews are no different than the Gentiles. We are all under sin. Now the word under here is the word used in Paul's day for slaves. 40 to 60% of the Roman Empire were slaves. They were totally dominated by their masters. They had no freedom. And Paul is saying, sin dominates us. We have no freedom. Yes, we may want to do good. We may choose to do the right thing. But in our own strength, we are failing. And then in verse 10 to 18, he's quoting from the Old Testament to prove his point. Look at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. And the last part of verse 12. There is none who does good. No, not one. That Paul, are you sure? There are many people who do good things. Ah, but Paul is writing from God's point of view. We judge ourselves and others by their behavior.
But
God looks at the heart. If you do the right thing for the wrong reason, in God's eyes that is not good. The Pharisees were very proud of themselves. They would stand up and they would say, I have murdered nobody. And Jesus said to them, one moment. If you hate somebody in your heart without a reason, you have murdered him. Or if you look at a woman to lust, even though you don't do the act, in God's eyes, you've already committed adultery. Because God looks at the heart. So Paul is saying that in God's eyes, there is nobody good. There is nobody righteous. Now look at the conclusion. Verse 19. And this is what we need to know. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. What Paul is saying, that God never gave the law to solve the sin problem, but to expose it. Because sin is the transgression of the law. Now verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. No one will be saved by their law keeping. Why? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, is Paul against the law of God? No. He will uphold the law as a standard of Christian living. But he will oppose anyone who tries to keep the law in order to be saved. We are not saved by the keeping of the law. We are saved by grace in Jesus Christ. But this grace that saves us transforms our hearts so that the law becomes a delight. And by the Holy Spirit who dwells in the Christian, we can now keep the law. Not to be saved, but to glorify God. Okay, now let's go on. Yeah, God created Adam in his image. And what is the first text? Chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1:26 says God created Adam in his image.
Божето разрешение на проблема грях. Бог създаде Адам по свой образ и подобие. Той притежаваше несебична любов.
And God is love.
Бог е любов.
And Adam's nature was love.
И Адамовото естество беше любов след сътворението.
But now, is this Corinthians?
Yes.
chapter 13.
Yes.
What does it say in verse 4 and 5? You don't know? Let's read it. Okay, let's read it. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. Verses 4 and 5. Let us see what Paul wrote here. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5. No, that's not the text. Yes, but... Yes, you're right. If you look at that, the verses, chapter 13, verse 4 and 5, especially verse 5, love seeketh not her own. Love is not selfish. So Adam's nature was not selfish as God created him. But when he sinned, his nature changed. And he blamed God for giving him a defective wife. That is what sin has done. It has changed our nature. How many children did Adam have when he sinned? None. So all his children were born after Adam sinned. And so we were born with a sinful nature. As we saw in Romans 5:19, he made us sinners. Okay, now I want to show you something. What does that say?
In that God didn't create a new life when the baby was born.
Yes, that's something you need to know. The human race to which you and I belong is the extension or the multiplication of Adam's life after his sin. And Acts chapter 17, verse 26, tells us that out of one blood or one life, God created all the nations of the world. So when a baby is conceived, God is not creating a new life. That baby receives the life from the parents, who receive it from their parents, and who receive it from their parents until we come to Adam. So the human race is the multiplication of Adam's life after he sinned. And that's how you and I were born. And so, what does it say there now? Can you read it?
Yes, it is the same word.
Yeah.
You say.
So what we're going to do now, we're going to look at how the Bible defines sin. Okay. The first one which we saw in the previous, the first definition of sin.
This is not the definition.
Transgression of the law?
Oh, yes, yes, it is.
Number one.
Yes,
sin is transgression of the law. Everyone knows that. Now number two. What does it say there?
The life of Adam was...
Let's look at number two. It's a mental consent to sin.
Второто нещо е съзнателно извършене на грях.
If you are tempted, and you agree with that temptation, even though you may not commit the act, in God's eyes, it is sin. Mental consent. Number three. Neglect of known duties or opportunities is sin in God's eyes.
Да пренебрегваш задълженията си. Това е грях.
Please look at James chapter 4.
Да видим Яков 2 глава.
And verse 17.
17 стих.
Listen to what James wrote.
Вижте какво казва.
Chapter 4 of
Яков.
And verse 17.
4 глава 17.
Therefore, To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin.
Ако някой знае да прави доброто и не го прави, той си навлича грях.
All of us are guilty of this.
Всички от нас сме виновни в това.
We know we have to do good.
Знаем.
But we don't do it.
Че трябва да вършим добро и не го вършим.
It is sin.
Това е грях.
That is the third definition of sin.
Това е третата дефиниция на грях.
Then number four. Doing the wrong thing out of ignorance.
Четвърто, да вършиш зло от незнание. Неправилни неща от незнание.
So the Arab in Saudi Arabia,
арабите в Саудитска Арабия,
he doesn't know the fourth commandment.
Те не знаят заповедите.
He works on the Sabbath.
Четвъртата заповед, те работят в събота.
It is out of ignorance.
Но това е от незнание.
But in God's eyes it is sin.
Но Божиите очи това е също.
And Leviticus 5,
Левит 5 глава,
17-19 says so.
До 19 казва.
Even though you do it out of ignorance.
Дори да вършиш грях от незнание.
Now number 5.
Пет.
Is that number 5?
It's a different text. It's not the same.
Okay. Let me explain to you.
Искам да ви обясня.
Doing the right thing.
Да вършиш правилни неща.
Good works.
Добри дела.
Law keeping.
Да спазваш закона.
For the wrong reason.
С погрешни мотиви, по погрешна причина.
In God's eyes that is sin.
Божиите очи това също е.
Please turn to Matthew. Matthew.
Четем в Матей.
I want you to see what Jesus said.
Ще ви кажа какво каза Исус.
In chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And listen to what Jesus is saying. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read two verses. 22 and 23. In the judgment, many will say to me, Jesus is talking, this is Jesus writing. Jesus talking. Many will say to me in that day. The day of judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonderful works in your name? This is what people will say. Listen to his response. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What was the problem? They were doing the right things,
but
for the wrong reason. And in God's eyes, that is sin. Now we go to another problem. Our nature. Let's see. No, that's not.
This is first one.
Yes, we're going back.
This is first one.
Okay, let me explain. It's not there, so I'm going to explain to you. Our sinful nature, which we were born with, is sin. Please turn to Psalms. I'm looking at Psalms. 51. This is David. Listen to what he says about himself. Psalms 51. And listen to what David said about himself. Chapter 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. What David is saying, I was born from my mother's womb a sinner. I was explaining this to a church in New York, and one man said to me, no, this is not David talking about himself. It is talking about his mother who committed sin. And said, I said, okay, let's go to another text. Chapter 20, 58 of Psalms. Same man, David is writing. And please notice in chapter
58
and verse 3. And I made him read it from his own Bible. Listen to what it says. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies.
Още от рождението си нечестивите се отстраняват, заблуждават като говорят лъжи, щом се родят.
So sin is not only what we do.
Така че грехът не е само това, което вършим.
Sin is what we are by nature. And so number seven. Sin is a law, a force.
Грехът е закон.
Dwelling in our nature.
Който
which makes us slaves to sin. And Paul brings this out in Romans 7. Now we have a law of gravity. What is the law of gravity? It's a constant force pulling everything down to the earth. And in our nature, we have the law of sin. Listen what Paul says in Romans 7. He says in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, a slave to sin. And then he proves it. I hate evil. I want to do good. I choose to do the right thing. I delight in the law of God. But in verse 22 he says, even though I delight in the law of God, I see another law in my members. Verse 23. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so he cries out in agony, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body that is a slave to sin, that is dead? And he answered, I thank God through Jesus Christ. That is the good news of the gospel. We are sinners by performance, we are sinners by nature, but we have a Savior. Now there is one sin, only one sin, that Jesus did not die for. And there is much confusion. It is the sin of unbelief. What is unbelief? It is the deliberate, persistent and ultimate rejection of the gift of Christ. You see, God doesn't blame you for being sinners. We can't help it, we are born sinners. But if we deliberately reject the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, then that sin is the sin of unbelief. It is the sin against grace. And I'm going to give you two verses from the mouth of Jesus Christ to explain that. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Most people know verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16 says that God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. That whosoever believeth should not perish, but will be saved with everlasting life. Now look at verse 17. John 3 and verse 17. Listen to what Jesus said. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But the world through him might be saved. That was the mission of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 18. He who believes in him, he who believes in Jesus, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So why are we people lost? They refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. Let me give you another text. The book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 16. This is the great commission Jesus gave his disciples. And listen to what Jesus said. Mark 16. Verse 15. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking to his disciples just before he goes to heaven. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to everybody. Now look at verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Salvation is a gift. You have to accept it. And if you believe and is baptized, you will be saved. But there's a but.
No.
But he who does not believe will be condemned. So why is anyone lost? Is because they deliberately refuse the gift of salvation. That is why Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 14, I will not come again until this gospel is preached into all the world for a witness. And that is why, my dear people, beginning tomorrow, I want to take you step by step about this gospel, this incredible good news, so that there is no excuse for anyone to be lost. The gospel is not good advice. It is God good news. It is such wonderful good news that to some people it sounds too good. But we will see what the Bible says. It is too good. It is too good. It is wonderful good news. Not for good people, for sinners. But Jesus said, I have not come to save the righteous. I have come to save the sinners. And this is the hope we have. And I want to share it with you. I've come a long way, traveled for 2 days to share with you this incredible good news so that you can go home in peace. So tomorrow we will deal with the two dimensions of salvation. The Bible speaks of two dimensions of salvation. What are they? You come tomorrow evening and I will explain to the two dimensions. Until then, may you go home knowing that we have a Savior who is able to save us to the uttermost, because he is at the right hand of God interceding for us. So let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to this world not to condemn this world, even though we deserve it, but to save us. And we thank you that on the cross Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Our salvation was fully obtained at the cross. So there is no excuse for anyone to be lost. God, please help us to understand this good news, that we may know the truth, the truth as it is in Christ, and the truth may set us free. Free from anxiety, free from insecurity, free to live and glorify Jesus. That is our prayer. That is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And tomorrow, the two dimensions of salvation. You need to know that. Because it is a problem within the Christian church. We need to understand both dimensions. And that is my prayer for you. Go in peace now. And she's going to play some music?
Yes.
She's going to play some music and then we can go home. And enjoy your good fruits and food.